It's really a privilege to be here with you. It's just as a point of background, I think Kathleen may have mentioned, I happen to be a descendant of one of America's founding fathers. He was the deciding vote for the state of Virginia's adoption of the Bill of Rights. So it's kind of in my heart of hearts to be a protectorate, ongoing protectorate of our Bill of Rights. And as you all know, we have lost four, I believe, or as many as five of our fundamental rights as defined in the Bill of Rights as a result of the Patriot Act. So the Los Angeles Citizens Grand Jury, it was kind of an expression of mine, a heartfelt expression of mine, along with our creation of 911truthla.us as a part of the grander 911truth.org network of organizations, of individuals, and of researchers who are committed, first, to revealing the truth, secondly, to assuring accountability, third, reclaiming our liberties, and finally, stopping the endless war of terror justified by the events of 9/11/2001. It's useful to note in the Constitution, just very fundamentally, that Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. As Kathleen mentioned, this universe of presentment versus indictment is really what the issue is here at hand. What we are basically asserting, and this is fundamental to constitutional law, and that is that no amendment can be nullified unless by another amendment. And no amendment has ever come forth with regard to the grand jury. In addition to that, in Amendment 7 of the Constitution, it says, in suits at common law, which is to say any suit that is brought forth out of the arena called common law, distinct from statutory law. And again, common law is our inalienable rights that in our Declaration of Independence we reaffirmed and affirmed. Here it says, in suits at common law with a value, and it talks about a particular value, the right of trial by jury may be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States, statutory court of the United States, than according to the rules of the common law. What that suggests here is that common law, as affirmed by the intention of our founding fathers, was supreme and continues to be supreme to statutory law.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the difference between common law and admiralty law?
Well, can you distinguish that? Common. Do you want to distinguish?
Yes, go for it.
No,
common law is the basic law. Admiralty is dealing with the shipping. You know, you're not.
So when we enter any courtroom in this country, there's a flag with a gold.
That's correct.
Trim.
Does that
under admiralty law?
Correct, which is another word for statutory law. And again, the distinction here is common law at its heritage is the fundamental people's rights that we as human beings have, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Historically, what we have is in 1215, June 15th, which happens to be my birthday, back in 1215, King John had been essentially suppressing, losing the money of the barons and having a conflict with the Pope. And what essentially happened is the barons called King John together and made certain declarations of intentions and complaints. And what emerged out of that was the Magna Carta, which was an affirmation essentially of the people's rights. One of those was trial by jury. Essentially, initially, that trial by jury was both in terms of, since they didn't have local policing forces with that function, the initial function was to both create an accusation and to try cases. What emerged as it evolved over the years, and when we went from England to America, it was experienced that it was very, very important to create a separation and a protection between the people and their government, which can, as we know, dictate and overtake us. And so the founders were very clear as we came to America to institute and to reaffirm the people's fourth branch of government and how we essentially did that, is that in the Constitution you have, as everyone knows, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. In the Bill of Rights, this affirms the people's rights. And in that, it affirmed, as we say here, that common law was supreme. And if, and there's a whole procedure of common law. And we are working with a common law expert, Bill Thornton, in Los Angeles. And basically, we're saying that it's now when, I believe, I'll even quote you, were just, let me just give you this. From the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths, as you all know, to be self-evident, that evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among those life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is something fundamental to who we are as human beings, not that we are granted by privilege by a government that represents us, which is what statutory law is. Further to conclude, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That was the Declaration of Independence. Some 200 and some years later, here we are again, in which we have massive abuses of power represented clearly, certainly in 9/11. I want to just point to a wonderful video that you may or may not have seen, but I highly recommend it. It's called Indictment, Inside the Oklahoma City Grand Jury. Nothing more clearly indicates what you have here. Hoppe Heidelberg actually was a grand jury member, and the federal rules governing grand juries that Kathleen was referring to, that was codified in 1946 and solidified finally in 1979, literally omitted the words presentment. So all the procedures in and around what a presentment would be, and remember, presentment is an affirmation of a jury's independent ability to investigate, to call its own witnesses, and to make its own conclusions, separate and apart from the prosecutor or the U.S. attorney that calls them. This is a very important distinction. And but in practical terms, you can see in Oklahoma City what the reality of that is. And that is that the prosecutor now is inside the grand jury, and essentially the grand jury has become a kind of a rubber stamp for what the prosecution brings down. So in the case of Oklahoma City, they didn't want to investigate what actually went on. And Hoppe made suggestions and wanted to investigate and wanted examples, wanted witnesses, just basic things like we want for 9/11. You know, what's the construction of the building, et cetera, et cetera. Remember there was a John Doe, too, wanted to at least see the drawing, artist sketch. All of that was suppressed and dominated, and yet the grand jury was accused of not investigating thoroughly what happened in Oklahoma City. That was because it was completely suppressed by the power of the prosecution and the people ignorant of their real power. What we're doing here is inviting a total reaffirmation of our fundamental constitutional rights to declare our own presentments. And when our government I want to just kind of refer you real quickly to this summary. How much time do we have?
Well, depends if we're going to stop.
I'll have those videos for sale at the end of this.
Okay. All right. With regard to 9/11, if our own, and also Oklahoma City, if our own government, military, and civilians are guilty of perjury, treason, destruction of property, mass murder of our own citizens, and guilty of high crimes against humanity, and they are in charge of the very investigations that find themselves innocent, the question is, what are we to be doing? Okay? And so the answer to that question is that we, the people, must reclaim the power that by legislative procedure was just asserted as obsolete. And we are saying not only is it not obsolete, it's alive and well, and the purpose of the founding fathers said we must stand up. That is what we're doing. So I'd like to review with you quickly some statements that we indicated, because I think it's very important. We, the people of the United States, having considered the devastating consequences of the deliberate failure of all government, jurisprudence, and media oversight to establish truth, and accountability for the crimes of September 11, 2001, and the cover-up that has followed, we drew on common law and we elected, and this is what's important, in a town hall gathering consistent with common law, when a town hall meeting comes together because there is an injustice occurring, what they then can do is vote for 25 people to represent the body, the will of the people. And that's precisely what we do. When you see the grand jury process that we did, it was very inspiring because we did essentially a symbolic 12 grand jury members initially, and then organically the people affirmed and said, no, let's do it the way it was originally in the common law. What is it? And they said, it's 25. So we spontaneously in that moment reasserted the people's power and voted for 25 people. We then gave a presentation which the witnesses had essentially that we had created, and the basic presentments which we're recommending. If you wish to do a grand jury, if you wish to do a citizen's grand jury, and we strongly encourage you to do that, or if you wish to piggyback on our high profile citizen's grand jury that we will be doing very shortly. We've been invited by Alex Jones to do a grand jury, actually in the latter portion of June. So we may well be doing that. Our vision, as you'll see in this article, our vision is to do them nationwide and to actually link up and simulcast. We've just, in addition, the reason that we're all in this panel together is because Ralph Shulman has long been an advocate, as we are, of international tribunals. This is, again, we the people asserting our responsibility for our government and when there's an injustice, taking it into our own hands in a legal way. As you know, Phil Berg has been working on the William Rodriguez case most recently. One of the things that we're doing is we are going to be, in support of Phil's case, we are going to be filing an amicus brief. This is something that we can do. And an amicus brief basically says we're a friend of the court, and the results of this particular case directly affect we the people. And we are going to be submitting our presentments here. And the presentments are very profound because what we're essentially doing is we're saying, as a point of background, the Bush administration created an official story. And it was purported to explain the events of 9/11. And that was basically promulgated by various commissions, not the least of which was the final Keene-Hamilton commission. And we have Joyce Lynn here who brilliantly talks about it as a whitewash commission. And that's exactly what it was. Why? And we then elucidate why that is. Number one, all these reports, number one, refuse to consider evidence contrary to the Bush administration's explanation or distorted evidence to conform to it. Secondly, they ignored evidence. They've ignored obvious suspects by failing to consider who had the means, motive, or opportunity to carry out all that occurred. Third, these supposed representatives of the people to find the truth, they determined that it was outside their mandate to establish legal responsibility or any accountability for the blatant disregard of standard operating procedures that occurred and the inexplicable negligence that permitted, if not caused, the atrocity of 9/11. So 9/11, as you all know, served to terrorize the American people into supporting an endless war of terror and erosion of our constitutional rights and a fundamental shift in our economic resources and political priorities while greatly profiting some individuals and institutions financially and politically. Our grand jury elucidated all, our witnesses elucidated all that in-depth evidence. We the people declare it is our mandate to expose 9/11 as a strategically designed pretext for war and profit, a self-inflicted, pre-planned attack on the American people and citizens of 82 countries. Secondly, to identify, our function is to identify individual and institutional responsibility not only for the events of 9/11, but the insider trading that preceded it, the subsequent anthrax attacks, and the cover-up that has followed. Thirdly, Our function is to assure prosecution of such parties to the fullest extent of domestic and international criminal and civil law, including but not limited to political condemnation here in the United States and around the world. Now, due to a shortage of time, I do a quick little summary of our findings. And that is, that given that vast bodies of evidence were ignored or distorted, what kind of evidence? One, that at least six of the hijackers were alive. I personally gave this evidence to the 9/11 Commission, to Congressman Romer, personally gave him that at least six of the hijackers were alive, that they went into American indices and see, this is my face, not guilty. And yet nothing was done about that. FBI Director Robert Mueller said in the treasure trove of evidence in Afghanistan and around the world, we've basically found no evidence linking these alleged 19 hijackers to the events of 9/11. I presented that to the 9/11 commissioners. And at the time in which I did that, personally, I was not called as a witness. We were there as observers in New York. Were you there with Ellen? I was there with Ellen, Mariani, and a number of us. Kyle was there in New York. And I basically said to Mr. Congressman Romer, both presenting to him not only about that that none of the hijackers were on the flight manifest list, I also reviewed with him, because it had just come out, the Larry Silverstein quotation from America Rebuilds, the documentary. I showed him that evidence and also the abundance of evidence about the 9/11, that the towers came down, and Building 7 from controlled demolitions. And I said to him, sir, do you promise to give this information to the members of the commission? And he said, yes, I will. I will give you your letter tonight and all of the evidence that you have presented here. I went to him the next day, and I said to him, seeing the abomination of justice that was happening, it was really clear. They interviewed Giuliani. It was just absurd. I mean, it was like, hi there. It's wonderful to have you here. Gosh, geez. You know, when...
He's going to turn on you.
Do you have
contracts
with those alleged hijackers that are still living?
I know that that process is underway, but let me just complete here. What I said to Mr. Romer is that if you do not, sir, in all due respect, if you do not, he said, well, you know, Lynn, I'm sympathetic with your concern, and he said, but what I want you to know is that the American people want to move on. I said, sir, we do not want to move on. You may wish to, as part of the Whitewash Commission, wish to move on, okay? But we, the people, want both the truth to come out and full accountability. And, sir, if you do not in your, and I asked him, do you have, you certainly have permission. He said, well, what we're doing is having us all agree on the content of it. And I said, so you're going to compromise truth and not express any accountability for the events of 9/11 in order for you all to be aligned? I said, sir, if you do not, now that I know, that you know, that we know what you know, if you do not have a dissenting opinion, and if your commission does not include this content in your final report, we the people will hold you and the members of this commission complicit after the fact for the cover-up that has occurred. And our citizens' grand jury is a commitment to doing, and that's exactly what we're doing. So, absolutely. And what we did is elucidate that. So, finally, we rejected officially the official story, and as Kathleen mentioned, as many as 20 different officials in the military, our government, and certainly in the media, etc. And we said, henceforth, they shall be considered propaganda fabrications designed to favor the unleashing of aggressive war while hiding the activity of a private, extra-legal, anti-constitutional network of treasonous officials at the highest level of the United States and perhaps other governments, including high-ranking military officers, mercenaries, and individuals within private corporations, mainstream media, and political institutions, all who actively prepared, promoted, or passively favored the September 11th attacks and or supported the cover-up that has followed. We concluded that from this point on, the events of 9/11 would be and the attack, the anthrax attacks, and the cover up that followed, as well as the insider trading, would be considered as outside attacks that happened to us, but as crimes that happened within our country, such that no suspect should be ignored or given immunity, no matter where they reside or what rank or official position they held before or since 9/11. And finally, we concluded that probable cause does exist and appropriate legal penalties should be pursued, and that the historical precedents elucidated about the war games, discussed about the war games, and that significant 9/11 events are 9/11-like events are being planned. And we affirmed the necessity for thorough investigation and a statement in which we affirmed a need for an international tribunal and a calling for citizens' grand juries nationally. From that point, taking those citizens' grand juries to the U.S. attorney and to your representatives and saying, we the people, as a result of the Fifth Amendment, affirm that you work for us, and we invite you to do the same. Thank you very much.